This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're looking to low Earth orbit, monetizing low Earth orbit, commercial space. Bob Zimmerman, who keeps the website Behind the Black and has written very carefully about commercial space for years, now looking at the fruits of his labor. Bob, what is Axiom and how is it going to make money? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, Axiom, we've talked about it before. Axiom is a private commercial company that not only wants to build private modules to attach to ISS that would eventually become its own independent space station, but Axiom is already planning and scheduling and intends to fly passengers into space to ISS. They have a flight scheduled for January where they're going to bring four people up. Use a Dragon capsule to launch some passengers and some astronauts. They're not stopping with one flight. They announced this week the commander of their second ISS, and that will be retired NASA astronaut Peggy Whitson. She is the first woman to command the International Space Station. She was the oldest to fly in space at 57 in 2017. She holds the record for the most cumulative time in space, almost 2 years. And she also has the world record for the most spacewalks by a woman at 10. She'll be flying with at least one passenger who's, once again going to be active involved in the flight by the name of John Schofner, who is an airline pilot and a champion car racer. No word on how much he paid for this, but he's flying. There's no word yet on the other two passengers, though those could be the winners of the Discovery Channel's proposed reality show, which will send two people up into space. Or it also could possibly be Tom Cruise and a movie director, both of whom have expressed interest in filming scenes of a movie on ISS. None of this is clear. We also don't know exactly when this second flight will go, though I'm sure they're going to aim for as soon as possible after their first flight in January. That scheduling, though, however, will depend a great deal on NASA because the demand for flights to ISS of commercial passengers is getting so tight that NASA is actually beginning to work out a scheduling policy to manage those flights. And business is booming, in other words. And they have a problem because there aren't enough American ports. There's only two American ports on ISS, and those ports have to be used for both cargo and NASA's flights. So they have to fit these in around those flights. It's one of the reasons Axiom is rushing to get its, I think, module launched, because that'll provide it its own port for many more such flights, John.
Bob, did you say Tom Cruise? Huh? Did I hear that slip?
I did say Tom Cruise. Yes, we've talked about this in the past. This was rumored months and months ago as possibly being the passengers on Axiom's first flight, but it turned out not to be the case. But his name keeps popping up in stories. Now, it could just simply press stuff and it's not true, but his name keeps popping up, so I'm mentioning it.
We go to Sierra Space. We need a definition here. And it also is monetizing space. How so, Bob?
Well, Sierra Space is now a subdivision of Sierra Nevada that's focused entirely on space. The company decided to move its space operations into a separate division. So Sierra Space is the company we'll talk about. They're building Dream Chaser, the cargo, reusable cargo mini shuttle to go to ISS, but they also want to upgrade it to be a manned vessel. And they've also announced in recent months that they're going to build their own space station. They call it LIFE. That's an acronym for something, but let's use the name. Well, it turns out that they've signed up their first customer for this commercial space station, a company by the name of Redwire, which used to be known Made in Space. They specialize in actually 3D printing and manufacturing in space. They've done this on ISS already, and they've done it on satellites. And so they have agreed that if should this space station get launched, they're quite willing to put their technology on it. And of course, this is, public relations. I'm sure no money's changed hands because Redwire doesn't have a station to go to. But I should point out that the bottleneck at ISS creates a need for other space stations. And so Sierra Space is trying to fulfill that need, and it's very possible there'll be more than enough passengers and business for a second or third or even fourth space station. The aerospace wants to get in on it.
We have a new definition of beachfront property, Bob. It's
yes, we do.
It's a park in low Earth orbit. It's worth a great deal of money to monetize this like a hotel system. How long until the Marriott chain owns this, Bob? How long?
You know what? I personally am not. I am not. I don't think the big hotel chains on Earth are going to end up getting any of this. I think that the private space companies that are building it are going to become the Marriotts and the Hiltons of the future. You're not going to go to a Hilton on Mars. You're going to go to an Axiom on Mars or a Sierra on Mars or any number of the others or a Nanorax. You're not going to why should they sell it off to these people who know nothing about hotels and space? It's a completely different business. That's my opinion, at least.
It takes me to 1969, Bob. That sequence from 2001 on the TWA shuttle to the hotel in space. It takes me there.
This is where we are. This is where we should have been 50 years ago, but we're finally doing what private enterprise, freedom, and the American dream is all about, and we're doing it in space.
Follow the money. Virgin Galactic, congratulations. What have they done, Bob?
They actually completed their first space flight with their spaceship to VSS Unity from Spaceport America in New Mexico this past weekend. That flight is the first successful one, and they've had lots of problems along the way. They say they have a few more test flights they have to do, one of which will include supposedly Richard Branson on a flight he promised to have occurred more than 13 years ago, which is finally going to happen. I posted a link on Behind the Black of a very good detailed review of the history of Virgin Galactic and this particular test flight by Doug Messier. He's been a guest on your show. And
Parabolic Arc, Doug Messier, yes.
Yeah, he's really good. And he really knows the story of Virgin Galactic very well. He broke the scoops on this, their problems over the years. And it does raise real questions about they might be under real scrutiny for stock fraud because the problems that existed on Unity and on White Knight were not revealed when they went public and started to sell stock.
Well, what he told me, Bob, was that White Knight 2, the mothership, has aged as ships do, and he used the word cracks, which did not sound confident, Bill. That didn't build my confidence. In fact, David Livingston and I both agreed that somebody else can go first.
Well, yeah, this is the problem they've got. They're in competition with Blue Origin right now. They lost the lead of it being so slow. Maybe their engineering design wasn't as good. But they're in competition. They've got to try to sell customers. And they've had a lot of technical problems over the years. Those technical problems are an obstacle for another reason. They are going to have to get FAA licensing approval for commercial passenger flights. And the FAA is very likely to be skeptical about giving them that license without solving all the technical issues to the FAA's satisfaction. And that's something that's going to have to happen. Now, Blue Origin's under the same microscope. But they have not had any of these problems. So it's very possible they will move forward with their July launch without any problem at all. Either way, these are two companies competing for monetizing space, even though it is suborbital. And it's just an example that seems to be business
all
here.
Right, all right, all right. This is another way to make money. We put Tom Cruise in a spacesuit. Is he an astronaut?
That's a good question. And that's the question that's now coming up. You know, you don't give wings to every person that flies on an airline to go from point A to B. You just give them wings. The only ones that get wings are people who have completed a solo flight as a pilot. Well, now we're getting into a situation with space where not everyone going into space is really, when you consider it, quote, an astronaut. We think of astronauts really as the people who, the professionals who fly the capsules, who pioneer the unknown, who take the risks. The passengers are there to pay a ticket and experience it, and these early ones are pioneers, but it's not the same thing. So now the questions are being rightly asked, and I linked to a story on this on Behind the Black, Is the word astronaut the appropriate word to use for people who fly? Now, both Virgin Galactic and Axiom are saying that they want to use astronaut as to describe their passengers. But other people like Bill Nelson, now NASA administrator, former senator, and a computer expert Richard Garriott, both who flew on the shuttle, both as tourists, they say they shouldn't be called astronauts. That's for the professionals. In my sense, I really think astronaut is a historical term. We won't be calling anybody astronauts in several decades. We'll call them pilots and commanders for the professionals. And everyone else will be passengers. Astronauts are going to be reserved for those people who are the initial pioneers for the first half century of space. That's how I look at it, John.
We have an analysis of NASA's budget, especially about big projects, and I see the word overrun, Bob. Is this a usual word that's used?
Ever get a feeling of deja vu? The GAO has released its annual report on NASA's major big projects. There's about 20 of these. And for the last five-plus years, they've routinely announced that we see more cost overruns and scheduling delays across the board on these major projects. Now, not all are going bad, but the key ones, the three that are the winners that routinely have shown problems and continue to do so, is the SLS rocket, the Orion capsule is supposed to fly on it, and the James Webb Space Telescope. These three programs account for almost, I'd say, 80% of the cost overruns in this new GAO report, and they include almost all the delays, the new delays that have been added to these 20 projects, which means a lot of these big projects are doing well at NASA, but these three are not, and they continue to do poorly. And there are real questions. They also blame the additional delays in the last year on COVID epidemic. But I think those delays were imposed by choice, not necessity. When you consider how Russia and China and SpaceX, they had no problems continuing to fly regularly during that period of time. They had some issues, but they dealt with them and they continued to fly. NASA, by choice, it shuts down if it gets a hangnail for weeks on end. That's been my experience for the last two decades, and that's an example here. They don't push forward. They allow delays to occur. And this GAO report just confirms the continuing process. It'll be really good when monetizing space makes these government boondoggles unnecessary, John. That'll be a good thing.
Astronaut Bernie Sanders throws a wrench at NASA. Why did he do that, Bob?
Well, look, Bernie Sanders is a senator, John. He's not an astronaut, but he makes believe he's an engineer, as is Maria Cantwell and many other senators in Congress who really, they know how to design space operations. So Maria Cantwell had put an amendment in demanding that NASA award a second contract for a manned lunar lander, in addition to the one it gave to SpaceX's Starship. And Bernie Sanders now has thrown a wrench by putting out an amendment that would eliminate Maria Cantwell's amendment and say, no, you can't give this second contract out. The second contract would almost certainly go to Jeff Bezos. So Maria Cantwell was trying to help someone in her state. And Bernie Sanders, who doesn't like billionaires, he wants to stick his thumb in the eye of Jeff Bezos. And so that's our government, that's our Senate, designing spacecraft. What would you do without him, John, you know?
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. I think making Bernie Sanders an astronaut is a positive idea. We could bring him in, Bob, make him a placeholder. This is CBS Eye on the World. We're going exploring next. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.